from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. In fact, welcome to the final broadcast for this week. I trust that if you've been listening in throughout the week, that the Lord has been blessing His Word to your heart. There are very few people who are satisfied with earthly riches. Often the richer the individual, the greater the poverty. Someone has said that getting riches brings care, and keeping them brings trouble. Abusing them brings guilt, and losing them brings sorrow. It's a great mistake to make so much of earthly riches, but there are some riches that we can't praise too much, because they are riches that never pass away. They are the treasures laid up in heaven for those who truly belong to the Lord. All the wealth in this world cannot buy you a way to heaven. There is only one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. Salvation, God's salvation, must be taken as God's gift. Indeed, the Bible tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no one so poor that he may not be a heavenly millionaire. You'll be a heavenly millionaire if you will come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By trusting in Him, you will have true riches, riches that will never, ever fade away. As the Reverend Ivan Foster brings God's Word today, may you find those true riches in Jesus Christ.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to our morning program. We have some interesting things to point out to you this morning in our Bible study in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, so be sure to have your Bible right there at your hand. Now, here's Al McGill, and he's singing a grand old gospel hymn. It's called Hiding in Thee.
Hiding in Thee,
the scribes who gathered around the Saviour as he laboured in the gospel were in danger of committing that terrible sin, the unpardonable sin, a sin for which there is no pardon, no forgiveness. And they were in danger of committing this sin because they ascribed to Christ the work of the devil. They said that the miracles he performed by the power of Satan. But there were others who came to the Saviour at that time of busy and zealous labour in the gospel. It was a time of revival, and they weren't his enemies, they were his friends, but they acted foolishly too. Let's read about them. Verse 20 then, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread." This is how busy the servants of God were. Such were the demands of the people to hear the gospel. Oh, happy day when people are clamoring to hear the word of God. "And when his friends heard of it," that is, the Saviour being so busy as not to be able hardly to eat, "they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." There are a few who think that zealous labour for the Lord is a sensible thing, and that included the friends of the Saviour. The word means kinsmen. Now, we'll find out who they are by turning toward the end of the chapter and taking up our reading at the verse 31. "There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my sister and mother." And God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, here we have a very interesting portion of God's word. Will you please note with me that Christ's friends can seek to hinder him in his work. During this time of revival, when many are flocking to hear the Saviour, we see that his friends weren't amongst those who thus pressed upon him. They only came when they heard of how the Saviour was not sparing himself in his efforts to preach the gospel and bring home to men and women the need of conversion. So, it's interesting how that even those who were closely acquainted and associated with the Saviour are to be found amongst the opponents. They didn't intend to oppose him. They weren't deliberately opposing him. Out of a love for him, they were opposing him nevertheless, trying to hinder him doing God's work. Then, again, I want specifically to note who these friends were that we're referring to, because they were the intimate family of the Saviour. In the verse 31, we read that they were his brethren and his mother. Now, my time being short, I haven't much opportunity to follow up some of the things that we discover here, but let me say this. In Matthew chapter 13 and the verse 55, the names of the Saviour's brethren are given. In John chapter 7 and the verse 5, we discover that these men were not believers. Imagine that. The Saviour's own earthly brothers did not believe in him to be the Messiah, the Saviour of man. But in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 14, we discover that they have been converted. They weren't converted during the Saviour's earthly ministry, but perhaps after his death, maybe after his resurrection, but certainly before the day of Pentecost, they were converted. For in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 14, we discover that their there in the great prayer meeting, waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear friend, how many there are who have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters who are true believers, true Christians, and yet they're not saved. So close to the kingdom of God, yet not saved. Knowing God's truth from the earliest days, yet not saved. Oh, beware of casting away this most precious privilege. The brothers of the Lord Jesus very nearly did so. And let me just close by pointing out to you how wonderful a relationship exists between Christ and all of his people. You see, his mother and his brothers arrive where the Savior was preaching, and they're looking to see him. And word comes to him inside, you better leave your work and go, your preaching, and go and see your mother and your brethren. They're looking for you. And the Savior says in verse 33, "Who is my mother or my brethren?" And looking round about on them which sat about him, and he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." I tell you this, those who are born again of the Spirit of God are born into the family of God. They become the kin of Jesus Christ. They are part of the family of God. Oh, Christian, what a privilege it is to be a Christian. The Bible says we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It means that we are intimately acquainted and associated with the Lord Jesus. He is our brother. He is that brother that is a friend indeed. I trust today, dear Christian, you're rejoicing in that blessed relationship. And if you're not saved, won't you come to Christ just like his brothers did? And believe in him today. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.